You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There is a thing going on in the American labor market that is not necessarily evident in the headline numbers, the latest of which, by the way, came this morning, the weekly report on first-time claims for unemployment benefits, which, for the 25th week in a row, are, as analysts like to say, elevated. 884,000 people lost their jobs last week. But you look under the hood of the job story, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman does all the time for us, and you'll see something interesting. There's a lot of laying off, yes, but then a lot of hiring, and a lot of laying off, and a lot of hiring. Here's Mitchell.
Is your mental math reeling from all these job numbers? The pandemic has thrown us record job gains and losses. And Anne Elizabeth Kunkel at the Indeed Hiring Lab says that's partly because the initial massive shutdown in March was followed by piecemeal reopenings and reclosings.
There is so much churn in the labor market right now, and that is the nature of coronavirus. You have these clusters, cases pop up, they go down, and then it pops up in another state.
Case in point for this churn, bartender Ryan Vann. In March, he went on unemployment when the Michigan bar where he's worked for a decade shut down. It got to reopen in June with a lot of restrictions.
So we had 10 really strange days where we were trying to figure out how to run a bar. Like, I've never had to hold three bottles at the same time while wearing latex gloves.
His rehire lasted a week and a half. Business was slow, he went on unemployment, and he doesn't know when he'll go back to work. Daniel Zhao at jobsite Glassdoor says employers keep laying off millions of workers in sectors that are still reeling, while at the same time,
employers are needing to hire to meet new shifts in consumer demand.
Small business owner Lenore Estrada has gone through this dance multiple times. She runs a bakery in San Francisco. She laid off most of her 26 employees when COVID hit in March. Then in April,
we got PPP. And so at that time, we brought back a bunch of people.
Meanwhile, she shifted her business from baking for companies like Google to doing more deliveries and farmers markets and teaching baking classes.
We sort of needed to hire some new people with different sets of skills.
In August, her PPP money ran out, and she did some more layoffs. She says it's not clear what the fall and the holiday season will bring. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There is some churn going on in retail, too, a sector that, as we have been telling you, has been getting clobbered. The New York department store chain Century 21 has filed for bankruptcy. We learned that today. Says it's going to close all 13 of its stores. But Chapter 11 bankruptcy doesn't always mean a business is going out of business entirely. It can restructure and survive, and that is looking like what's happening for much-troubled JCPenney, which has found some interested buyers, mall operators Simon Property Group and Brookfield. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra explains what they might be seeing in JCPenney.
For more than a decade, JCPenney has been struggling. It's had multiple CEOs, and it's repeatedly tried to reinvent itself. It even got kicked off the New York Stock Exchange because its stock price went too low for too long. And yet, here we are. Simon and Brookfield want to buy JCPenney. Maybe they believe they can finally turn the company around. They have other reasons, too.
They don't want a bunch of empty stores in their malls.
Lauren Biedelsbacher teaches marketing at Babson College.
If JCPenney were to completely liquidate, they would close over 600 stores, and it would be really hard for the property managers of those malls to fill all of those spaces.
JCPenney's stores would be especially hard to fill because they're enormous, multi-level spaces. And, well, what are the alternatives? Sears is out. Macy's is closing stores. David Marcotte is a consultant at Kantar.
Kohl's has never been interested in being an anchor. And you can go through the list.
And Simon and Brookfield really can't let these stores go empty because they're anchor stores. They bring foot traffic to smaller retailers, the Bath & Body Works and phone repair kiosks.
If I close an anchor store, I'm almost sure to lose another 5 to 10 stores at that end of the mall.
And to collect less rent money from the ones that are left. Because in mall lease agreements, there are often terms that say if an anchor store leaves, the small stores get to pay less in rent. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.